Morning.
Good morning. How are y'all?
You want to introduce yourself first? Or?
Sure. Okay. Yeah. So, guys, I'm Brian Ray. I'm a pastor here. I'm a pastor over the young adults ministry and college ministry. And we're glad to be here today. We want to open up by just telling you guys about a little bit about ourselves, and just our background here with Grace Chapel. I have been a member here for, 12 years, 13 years. I got saved my senior year of college. Gave my life, rededicated my life to the Lord, but really it was for the first time. And I came home. I was doing landscape architecture. Loved doing that, but just felt a calling on my life. I wasn't dating anybody. I enjoyed my job, but I just felt God as this new believer calling me to more. And so I heard an opportunity. Come on in, guys. I heard an opportunity of a trip to Mexico. Come on in. There was a 2-week trip to Mexico, and I'd never been to Mexico before. And I said, prayed about it, felt God was putting this on my plate, and so I went, and absolutely fell in love with that country and that culture. Came back home, was talking to Pastor Steve, and was just said, man, I have a heart. Like, I want to take 6 months and just go and work with these people and just, do whatever God shows me. And so we ended up, we went down and checked this one place out, went to another place, and ended up God put me in this place. It was called Rancho Maranatha. It's about 10 hours south of Tucson, Arizona. I went down there on a 6-month commitment and ended up staying 6 years. And ended up getting married my wife there. It was at an orphanage. My in-laws still are there. The orphanage is closed down now, just because of the government and a lot of corruption down there. But I just went. God called me. I went not knowing what to expect, and ended up with a wife and family and just an awesome experience out of it. So I came back here. Me and my wife were pregnant. My wife was pregnant 7 years ago. We were in Mexico planning on having, we had twin boys. We were planning on having them in Mexico, and went to just a normal doctor visit. She was 25 weeks pregnant, and the doctor saw something he didn't like, and so we went to the hospital, and they said, yeah, you're in labor, and if these babies are born here right now, they will not make it. And so the doctor said, I'm required by law to keep y'all here, but here, take this hand. He gave us a handful of shots, and he said, do these every couple hours on your way back and get to the United States as fast as you can. And those shots were, if anybody's in the medical field, they were steroids that developed their heart and their lungs faster. But we got back to Nashville at midnight, or no, at 6 o'clock, and they were born at midnight, at 25 weeks. They were a pound each when they were born. The doctors were telling us it was going to be 3-4 months of intense, even if they do make it, it'll be an intense, process. So at that point we knew, okay, we're going to be here in Tennessee for a little while. And so, that was something we struggled with. We were, in Mexico doing God's work, knew we were called to it, and to be just taken out and drawn out like that, it kind of, it made us, I could go on about that forever, but it just, it was like, okay, God, what are you doing? And it's been awesome these last 7-8 years to just see, okay, this is what God's doing. Yes, we still have a heart for Mexico. My wife is there right now. She's been there for 10 days just visiting people, and God is slowly calling us back after 8 years, slowly calling us to go back, not permanently, but, for short-term, 2-3 month stints. So that's kind of where my background, my history. I've been here ever since. When we got back, Steve, he came to visit us in the hospital, and he said, hey, Brian, you're going to be here a little while. Do you want to, and I did landscaping my whole life. Do you want to do the landscaping out here? And I said, sure. I guess we need a job. We need somebody doing it. You need a job. And I said, okay. So I started doing the landscaping. For a long time, I was the grass pastor. And so some people still call me that. And just started doing that, and just love this church, love this body. I know a lot of you guys are pretty new here, and how I just love to see who all's been here for less than 6 months at this church. Wow. Okay. So yes, I was right. Most of y'all are new here. Well, welcome, and I just want to encourage you guys. Like, awesome, good job for getting involved and doing this class. I'm doing the Steps 2 class right now. I never had done it. I'm doing it with the college group, and there's several of the college kids going through that. And so I encourage y'all, after this class, take the Steps 2. It's a lot of the same material, but we go more deeper and learn a lot. I'm learning every week, learning stuff. So, yeah. Rick?
Thanks. My name is Rick Wood, and I am a transplant from Central Florida area. And I've been going to this church for about 8 years now. I was born again when I was 27, never grew up in the church. Parents didn't ever take us to church. And spent the next 20, 25 years trying to figure out what it meant to be a man of God in this culture of ours. And found it 8 years ago here. At least I feel like we have. So I've been married 36 years, three kids. Almost done. Got two graduating from college in December. And it's just been a real blessing being a part of this community. My mission background is sometime around 2000. I don't know if you all remember the group of young African men called the Lost Boys of Sudan. That's when they first came to Nashville. And we got involved with them trying to figure out. These guys were trying to cook. They're trying to find a place to build their fire in their apartments so that they could cook their meals. And they're used to eating outside and all that. And so anyway, we discovered these guys, a small little population, about 40 of them at the time, and just helped them try to get some furniture, try to get them jobs, teaching them how to drive, which was pretty amazing. These guys, basically, you have to remember, these guys came out of like 1000 AD into 2000 AD overnight. And so that was that's kind of how I remember telling my wife one time, I've been praying about God's direction in my life, and I said, I just don't hear him say go to Africa. We all think that you got to be in Africa to do the Lord's work. Well, Africa came to Nashville about 6 months after that, and for years we were working with these guys, and then after they were kind of stable and all, we found out that there was a real need back in South Sudan while the war was going on with the North. The Islamic regime up there was trying to exterminate the African Christian South. And so since then, we've been there about five times. We've built, through Grace Chapel, we've built a school. It has up to 800 kids in it. We had a clinic and a church, a large church for them, and built, dug some wells. And that was done by some other members of our church also here. But it's just been a real blessing, and my heart also is back in South Sudan. I used to always think the Lord was gonna, let me go to Bahamas or something and have a ministry down there. And of course, where do I end up? In a landlocked state in the middle of Africa. So, it's just part of my heart. These guys are fighting each other, so we're not going to be able to go again in the spring. There's still war going on. But that's my background with missions.
Awesome. All right. Well, so today we're here to talk to you guys and about God's commission. I think is it page? Or do y'all have the little packet on God's commission? I'm not sure what page it is in your notebook. 39. All right. Today we just want to kind of go through these notes and then give you guys just time to break up and talk about it. Talk through what God's been showing you. So is everybody there? Y'all ready? Okay. So sharing your faith. Sharing your faith is a matter of obedience. Without going through and asking everybody, I don't know your background, your history. I'm sure y'all have talked through that a little bit. But does everybody in here understand that sharing our faith as a believer, whether it's a new believer or a long-time 20-year, 30-year believer, sharing our faith is a matter of obedience. everybody have a good sense of that? I feel like it's easy to forget that, that we are called as believers, as followers of Christ, to share our faith. It's not just a, okay, I'm saved and I've got mine and I'm holding it in and keeping it. No, it's, and we're going to talk through the gospel and what is the gospel. But sharing your faith is a matter of obedience. Jesus called us to that. Number two, sharing your faith is a matter of being ready. And the scripture there says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And so just always being ready. Okay, God, I realize it's a matter of obedience. You have asked me to share my faith. You have asked me to share this good news with the world. Okay, in obedience, I'm always going to be ready. I'm going to be ready to give this. I'm not just going to have this. I feel like in the South, and I don't know how many of you guys grew up in the South, but in the South, it's just everybody's a believer. You go to church. God is God. Jesus is Jesus. We're going to church. I'm going to heaven. And there's no hope. There's no joy. It's just like, I mean, some people even probably think like, well, I don't know what I'm going to do in heaven all day. Like, it doesn't even sound that great. And so like that's the Southern culture. Who all grew up in the South? Any of you guys? So, I mean, is that a pretty good picture of it? Like, that's what I grew up in anyways. And so it is a matter of sharing that with people. And okay, so if you grew up in the South, everybody knows this. No, like, living that out and being an example to others in your community of, no, I believe what this Bible says, and I believe it, and I'm putting it into practice. So being ready, always being ready to share that. And then also sharing your faith, number three, sharing your faith is a matter of being available. And so you're obedient, you're ready, and of course you're available. And so being available is, if God speaks to you in a dream and says, hey, your neighbor is lost, go talk to them. Okay, I'm going to be obedient and do that, and God will provide a way. If that's at the grocery store, I'm just always available and looking for a way to speak truth to people. Speak truth into people's life and be genuine. Not just, okay, I'm going to tell this guy, I'm going to tell that guy, I'm going to tell that guy, but just being ready, having that spirit of, I'm available, God, use me. So number four, Rick, you want to do number four?
Yeah, sharing your faith is a matter of prayer. We know that that's our most important tool in our toolbox. That, John told us that no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. We also know that the fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. My dad is 88 years old. He fought at Iwo Jima in Okinawa. Tough guy, Freemason, working his way to heaven, and he just doesn't understand his need for a Savior. So my prayer has been, is, will always be, that God would remove the blinders from him, supernaturally impart in him his need for a Savior, as opposed to him trying to work his way into it. But I truly believe that that is our first and most important tool that we have in sharing the gospel. Sharing your faith is a matter of being compassionate. Brian just kind of mentioned that. Jesus and the disciples had compassion for the weary, scattered, lost sheep. You know, people can tell when you're being real. They know if you really have their best interests at heart. You know, it's kind of hard to headbutt people into the kingdom. So, we just need to try to remember that Jesus himself was compassionate to us, and that he showed love to all of those that he came in contact with, offering the salvation to them. And, you know, we can do the same, like you said, without it just pointing that finger at them.
Yeah, so the number six, that goes into number six, sharing your faith is a matter of being bold. And so you need to check your spirit on that. Not boldness of, I'm going to win Jesus, I'm going to win all these people to Jesus, because that's, you know, just, it's a, being bold, that right below that scripture of where it's talking about Peter and him being filled with the Holy Spirit, he said to the rulers and the people who were the religious people of that day, he told them in boldness, because he knew he could lose his life. He could be thrown in prison for saying what he said. But having that boldness of, I am filled with the Holy Spirit, and the God's Spirit, the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, lives in me. I'm going to operate in that boldness. That should produce boldness in us of, okay, this, you know, whoever, Jehovah's Witness knocked on my door. One, we got to get over, I don't want to be bugged by them. Two, it's, okay, there may be a fear there of like, okay, well, they've really studied and these guys are going out and like, I'm not studied up. No, like you have that spirit in you. You can go to that door and allow Jesus to move through you. You may say two words to them, three words to them, but being confident, having that boldness that God is with you in all things. Number seven, sharing your faith is a matter of being diligent. And the verse under there is, be diligent to study. Be diligent, study to present yourself approved to God. A worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so if you're going to give a defense, you are going to have to study the word so that you're not ashamed. And that, again, with the Jehovah's Witness comes, those guys have studied. They have done their homework, and they have arguments. And they will even use the Bible, but twist it. And so we, as part of being diligent, is to know what we believe and why, and know the word. Know the word. That's our sword.
Sharing your faith is a matter of asking simple questions. Things like, do you know what's going to happen to you when you die? Where are you going to go? Sometimes that's an icebreaker. How many of y'all seen War Room? God, it's a great movie, wasn't it? That is like the ultimate. That was a really good movie, but if you really dissect it, that was a movie on how to witness. What was her name, Claire? Claire, something like that. You know, she had to ask at the very beginning with that relationship with the realtor. She had to ask some kind of penetrating questions at first that it was kind of like the woman was going, that's none of your business. But she didn't, because she had a need at that time. And that's sometimes what we can find out. I think the important part there is before you can really effectively witness to someone, you got to know where they are spiritually. Yeah. And asking questions can help you with that. Number nine, sharing your faith is a matter of sharing God's truth. Sometimes this can be like the hardest thing for us because we're basically speaking into a person's life, and a lot of times it's accusatory because they're hearing the word and they may not be living according to the word. You know, I know I wouldn't be here as a believer if others hadn't taken that chance, hadn't risked our relationship by planting seeds of truth into my life. May not have been them that brought me to the Lord, but they certainly planted those seeds. And later, you know, they just kind of kept growing and growing until I finally got some sense. And so, you know, a good place to start for this is the Ten Commandments. Sometimes we think that it's so simple. Well, I didn't grow up with the Ten Commandments. I didn't know what they were. And based on the world that we live in right now, I think we could go back and use some of that. So that's a really easy way to get into a conversation. We know that the result of breaking God's law, His truth, is separation and spiritual death. So the law brings us to a saving faith in Christ by us acknowledging that we do need a Savior. We just can't work our way into this.
I just want to interject. I was thinking about this. I know, you know, both of us have been on missions and love missions, and I just want to make sure we make this separation of this is not just for missions. This is everyday life. This is here in Tennessee. This is in your job. This is in your workplace. This is in your home. This is not just okay when I go on a mission trip. This is what I do. This is our life as a believer in Christ. This is our life. I don't know.
Yeah,
I just
that's a good
to make
point.
That.
I work at Vanderbilt, and there are, you know, still some believers there, some Bible believers. And but it's also, you know, it's very hard to share the gospel because it's a very, very diverse, and they say open, but it's very closed in sharing the gospel with people. And so there's times where you can pray with people and stuff like that, but, you know, it is a mission field.
Yeah.
All of Nashville is a mission field.
Yeah. And there is that oppression. There's a guy that goes to church here. He works at SunTrust Bank over on Nolensville Road. And he's I guess he opens accounts, not a teller, but a manager, I guess. But he's bilingual. And he has story after story after story each week of where he's leading people to Christ. They come in and their life's a wreck and they're trying to open a bank account or get some kind of thing. And he's speaking to them in Spanish. Nobody else there knows what's going on. And he's leading them to Christ at his desk. And I mean, his manager will come back and be like, man, these guys, Hispanics are so emotional people. He has no idea what he's doing. And so he's continuously leading people to Christ. Just under the guise of, it's hidden because it's in Spanish. So, yes, it's part of our everyday life. Number 10. Number 10. Sharing your faith is a matter of proclaiming God's love for people. I didn't know that. I grew up in the Church of Christ and did not know. I could say it. I could sing the Jesus Loves Me song, but I didn't know that until I was 23 years old about God's love, and I'm continuing to learn. When my boys were born, I forgot to mention also, my boys, they're 7 now, and they're doing awesome. They're absolute miracles. You've seen them, yeah. And they are absolute miracles. Completely healthy. They're in second grade here. And so, I forgot where I was going with that. God's love. How did I get to that? Oh, yes, God teaching me just through my boys. I mean, just, those of you who have kids, you learn a lot about God's love, like how much I love these two boys. And when I see them doing things, I'm so proud and just joy in that love, and there's nothing they could do that would take that away. That's God's love, and God continues to teach us through those things.
Yeah, that's how I learned about unconditional love, was through my kids.
Yeah. But sharing your faith is a matter of proclaiming God's love for people. Again, on love, one of the coolest stories, I usually tell it in here. When I first went to Mexico, I didn't know any Spanish. The only Spanish I knew was, when I started breaking out my Spanish, everybody just told me, okay, just stop. Because it was all bad. I got in a lot of trouble with it. And so I didn't know much Spanish. But one weekend, they were having a women's Bible study. And so where my in-laws have their church, it's kind of in a rural area on a ranch, but it's in between a colonial city of probably 100,000 people and then, a bigger, large city of 200,000 or 300,000 people. And everything in between are just these little villages where some people have electricity, some people don't, but it's just basic, simple houses. And that's the majority of their church population. So we were going out to pick up all these women for the women's retreat. They sent me with a guy that was just, he was a local, everybody in all these little places. He had a cousin in each one of those little places. And so he was going with me, and he talked to me nonstop, talked. He understood just a little bit of English, but not much. But he just, all I really knew how to say was God loves you and God bless you, and that was about it. But through us riding around that day, we went into this one town where, like, we couldn't even drive through there without getting rocks thrown at us and just people yelling at us and cussing at us because we were Christians. They knew we were Christians. But we get back, and he's talking to my father-in-law, and I see them kind of praying together, and my father-in-law comes over and is so just beaming, and he goes, do you realize that guy is the pillar in that community where they're throwing rocks? And he just gave his life to the Lord because of he saw God's love in you, that you left your family and you came to this foreign country and are, serving the way you are, just just humbly serving and loving on these people and going out and picking them up and taking them to this. He just gave his life to Christ, and his whole family ended up coming to Christ, and now like half of that community, we can go through there and, no more oppression. And that wasn't anything I did. I was obedient, and God's love poured out, and I didn't have to say a word. And so that just, wow. God's love is so powerful. When people get that, their lives are changed forever. Just because we were riding a bus through there, and they knew we were Christians. I mean, in Mexico, Catholicism in Mexico is so different than Catholicism here. It is. They tell the priests tell their people that the Christians started reading the Bible and they went crazy. And so they tell them, do not, you're not capable of reading the Bible. Only listen to what we say. There were, just a brief story, that in one community, they had over 70 kids coming every week to a Bible school. And the family, you know, the families in that community were fine. Every week, they were faithfully going, 70 to 80 kids were coming, hearing about Jesus. The priest for that one little town comes in. He comes in, he blows in maybe once a month, once every 3 months. He comes in, sees what's happening, and he meets with all, he calls a town meeting, meets with all the families and tells them, next time they come, if any of your kids, whoever's kid is at that, we're taking away all, because there's a lot of welfare. All those small communities are on welfare. We're taking, basically he said, we're taking away your food stamps and any government benefits, your insurance, any of that. So the next week, they didn't know this. The next week they show up, not one kid came. Because, you know, I mean, the parents, they were going to lose everything, their food, their insurance, everything. So there is a huge oppression in Mexico from the Catholic Church towards Christians.
Protestants.
Yeah.
Number 11,
sorry. Sharing your faith is a matter of explaining how one can be saved. And this is just a simple thing. I mean, a lot of times I know we have in our head, okay, what's a big, you know, this guy's coming to me and asking, I want to be saved, and I don't know what to say, and I don't know the right prayer. No, it's simple. It's a matter of repenting. You change. That's what Jesus told. Repent and change your way. You're going this way, and you're rebelling, and you're going against God or the opposite direction of God. It's change direction and follow Jesus. And then believe, cling to this good news. Believe what the Bible says, what Jesus said. And then receive it as a free gift. And then also confess, you know, confessing to others, telling others what God has done for you. And this prayer right here, I just want to read through it real quick. This is not like the sinner's prayer. This is not, okay, this is, you have to say every single word. But this is a good just embodiment of what you're saying when you lead someone to Christ or when someone is giving their life to Christ. Heavenly Father, I repent of my sins and turn to you. I believe in the gospel, the good news that Jesus suffered and died in my place to pay the penalty for my sins because I broke your law. I receive forgiveness of all my sins, past, present, and future. I receive Jesus and the free gift of salvation right now. And I confess Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I believe Jesus rose from the dead so that I could have eternal life. And I thank you that I am now a beloved, forgiven child of God through the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. Man, that's good.
Yeah.
I mean, that's we need to read that every day as a reminder. Number 12, sharing your faith is a matter of being humble and honest. Like Rick said, just being real. People can tell when you're being fake and when you're just feeding them a lie. When there's true heart change and there's fruit in your life, and you can say, okay, this is how I was and this is how I am now, and this is what God's done for me. People see that. People connect with that. I love that first point right there. Evangelism is just one beggar telling another beggar where to get bread. Total humility in its approach. And people do appreciate that.
Yeah.
And so it's not a self-righteous, I've got everything figured out, and you are messed up, and this is what you need to do. It is, man, I'm broken. I was broken. Here's where I found help. Here's where I found true life. All right. So that was 1 through 12. Yeah, those are all those points. So we're just going to breeze through this real quick. The understanding of the gospel, is that the next page you'll have in your notes? And these are just truths about the gospel. You know, at the first I said, if you're a new believer or if you've been a believer a long time, if you're new, you may be hearing this for the first time. If you've been a believer for a long time, you may have forgotten some of this. And it's good to refresh your memory. If the gospel isn't good news, if it's not good news to you, you may have an inadequate view of how heinously offensive sin is to God. you have an inadequate view of the severity of God's judgment of sinners, or you have an abysmal view of heaven. And if you are, if that spoke to you of, man, I don't really know what heaven's going to be like. Pastor Steve did a heaven series. He's done it twice. And you can get it in the bookstore. You can listen. I'm pretty sure it's online. You can just listen to it online too. But it is so, it's about a 4 or 5 part series on heaven and just what that's going to be like. And, you know, as much as we can know what that's going to be like through a biblical explanation. So the gospel defined literally means good news. And the gospel is good news. It is a gift of God's grace. We're just going to skim down through this. I want to encourage y'all, because I know with going through that Steps 2 class with the college kids, there's a lot of material here that's good. And just kind of go through that this week. Don't just see it today and, okay, go through this. You're going to get what you put into this class. And so go through these and pray through these points. Number
five. The gospel saves us from the wrath of God. I think, like you said, I think some people think that God's just waiting for us to mess up so that he can punish us. And we know that that's just a lie from Satan. John said, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." And because of that, the gospel brings salvation, which means rescued, delivered, made whole, forgiven of sins and the penalty and power. So for those who think that they can work their way into heaven, Paul also wrote, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." My dad doesn't understand that. The gospel also brings sanctification. Sanctification is being made holy in God's sight. I said, really? Me? Yeah. Absolutely. Paul again said, "We have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all." In other words, it is finished. Or as Pastor Steve would say, we are no longer sinners, we are saints who sin. The gospel brings justification. Justification means to declare innocent, blameless, treated just as if I had never sinned. And just like justification, the sanctification is a done deal. It's settled, and so we can all have peace from God. I mean, most of us come from not everybody, but a lot of us have come from some painful past, whether we were on the receiving end of that or on the giving end of that. And we don't have to worry about whether our sins have been erased or not. It's a done deal. The gospel brings reconciliation or atonement. Reconciliation means to be brought fully into friendship with God, at one-ment with him. That's a great, great word to split out, at one-ment. Many of you know that Yom Kippur was last week. That's the Day of Atonement. That's when the Jews used to have to bring a goat up to the altar and they would sacrifice it, shed its blood for the remission of their sins. And at the end of that whole process, another goat had all of the sins of the community cast upon it, and then they would send that goat out of town, leaving and gone away. And that's where we get the term scapegoat. And that's kind of what Christ did for us. He took on our sins, and he shed his blood and took our sins and banished them from out of our town. And so that's it's kind of an interesting comparison from the Old Testament to the New Testament.
Yeah, like that's good news. Like that's really good news. Mm-hmm. Like what we did on the way to church here this morning, that's gone. Like,
exactly.
We were forgiven. Like what we did last night, gone. That's good news. That's good news for me.
Yeah.
It's good news for me.
Finally, the gospel brings a new identification. You know, when you sum up all those Asian words that we just went through, you know, you can kind of frame it this way, that we are, you are holy saints who have been forgiven, who are innocent, and we're friends of God. And, you know, that's something that we've got to really kind of pound down into our hearts, that's that's who we are. And if you haven't, or if you know someone that hasn't, we should claim that. Yeah. I mean, that's the power of the gospel. Yeah. So, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Which is, like you said, awesome news.
Yeah. Number 11, the gospel results in demonstration. Demonstration means that the gospel is a present demonstration of the future kingdom of God. And so, for me, it's what we've been talking about. It is the fruit that is seen in your life. I know, like Jesus, I mean, there would be a miracle, and it would be a demonstration. I mean, he always preached, the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. And he would show that with power. Like he would, and he told us, this is how you pray. Father, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And so that healing, those miraculous powers, it was a demonstration of that. And so our lives, yes, I have seen healings. Yes, I have seen miraculous healings. But our lives are that same miraculous healing. Like, I know I'm a miracle. The fact that I'm sitting here whole and saved and justified and reconciled, that is a miracle in my life. I am a walking miracle. We all are. And so that is a demonstration. That is one demonstration of God's kingdom and of the gospel, is by our lives. That's one of the things I teach the college kids over and over, is how important our witness is and how important our lives are to others, and what an effect that has on others around us that are watching. They are watching, for sure. Mm-hmm. Number 12, and the gospel brings intercession. Intercession is just, it means praying, crying out for future heavenly kingdom of God power to invade our present hellish kingdom of darkness and circumstances. And Jesus gave us that instruction and permission to pray that way over lost people, over people that we know, people that are lost, people that are sick. Like, God, Jesus gave us permission to do that and told us to do that, to ask in his name for his kingdom to come. And the gospel result, number 13, the gospel results in declaration, which is what we've been talking about today, is declaring the good things that the Lord has done in our lives. So we're done with that for now. So guys, we do. We just want to give you, 20 minutes, James? About 20 minutes?
Not right now.
Not right now? Okay. Well, we're done. So your turn. Do you guys usually break up?
Well, yeah, we break up into groups right now.